An anonymous coach tells us what I think we already knew about Golish and Durkin.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the boog, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir, we're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five, and we are ready to get after it. Today's episode's brought to you by buyauburn.com and all the other episodes as well. We're going to talk about an anonymous, I guess, SEC coach talking about the fit of Alex Golish and then the matchup of DJ Durkin and Alex Golish and how perfect it could be. Really, it could be a really good marriage. We'll talk about that. Baseball with a big dub moving on, and golf advancing. Spring sports killing it. Men's spring sports killing it right now. So we're going to break all that down. Let's jump right into this. It's a quote from, this is every year, Athlon drops their magazine. I don't think they actually have dropped it fully, but they like leak stuff out of it. And there's always a really cool section where they get quotes from anonymous coaches. And I guess when you're anonymous, you'll kind of tell it like it is. And Auburn's been pounded a lot the last several years. But this one's a little bit different. It feels different. I'm going to read the quote for you. Here it is. An anonymous coach tells Athlon magazine that Alex Golish is a pretty good fit with Auburn. Honestly, Alex Golish is a pretty good fit. You see him paired with DJ Durkin, and he's a grinder. I see how the system could be attractive. You bring your quarterback with you, and there's not a big learning curve there. I could see them have success. They were really good on defense last year. They were the best defense that we saw. You add some offense with it, and they can be pretty good. I sense that there's going to be a mentality to be who they are and not conform to the past and how things have been run there. Teams that play them early, there's going to be a surprise with how efficient they are with the guys that have been in that system. It's funny that last quote right there, I'm reading that quote right there after the show that we had yesterday and the concern from others about there being too much newness, too much new out there that it makes it hard to maybe be successful early because there's just so many new pieces. And coaches that have played this team the year prior see continuity. I think that's an interesting, I don't know the word you're going for. That's an interesting comparison when you're talking about from an analyst position's view and then a coach's position's view. Let's break this down from a couple of different ways. Number one, I want to talk about the fit between DJ Durkin and Alex Golish, because there was a ton of talk at the beginning. Will he keep him? Won't he keep him? Are they forcing him to keep him? Do we even want to keep DJ Durkin? There's a lot of talk around that. And I honestly, it really feels to me that those guys are so similar. Like the intensity that they have, the demanding excellence, the efficiency. I mean, there's no, when you watch practice last year, you saw two different teams. You saw one side running as like a well-oiled machine, not wasting any time. Then you saw the other side, you know, kind of, you know, standing around a lot, going through the motions, whatever. This year, it's hard unless you just know. You can tell defense right off the bat. Like you can say, okay, that's definitely defense because they don't have the ball, and that's offense because they do have the ball. If you could take that all away and just look at them and how they work through a vacuum, it's all the same team. They're working the exact same way. It's rep after rep. It's intensity after – it's being intense every single rep. It's just – continued work on both sides of the ball. They feel like the exact same person, just on different sides of the ball. I say all that to say, you know, with all the talk about him being forced and he had to take him and who knows if he even wants to have DJ Durkin, I think if left to his own volition, he would have taken DJ Durkin no matter what. And that may be exactly what happened because, hell, everybody else got fired. There's only how many people left over from that last staff? On the field, there's what, like two coaches? And then off the field staff, there's maybe like one or two. Got rid of everybody. That's what I'm saying. I think this is like the perfect little matchup. Go to another point of that. Like we played them last year. It's the best defense we played. There's been so many people that want to try to tear down what the defense actually has done the last 2 years under DJ Durkin. There's a lot of people, and you know, maybe there's an argument for this where it's not so much about that they were good. It's like when they were good and not being able to make a stop in crunch time and all these like words that are just like kind of catchphrasy to me. The bottom line is, that defense for the last 2 years put the ball in the offense's hands so many times to go win a game. So many times. There are very few games that you could point to that you could say the defense let us down. If the defense, that they just couldn't stop anybody, the defense let us down. In almost every single game that was one of those crushing one-score losses, you can point to multiple times that defense put the ball back in the offense's hands, whether it was a big stop, whether it was a turnover, doesn't matter. And just like the coach said, you couple that with just a little bit of offense, this can be a really good team. That's what I've been saying about DJ Durkin and for the last couple of years, just how incredible. You don't understand the stress you put on a defense when you continually give the ball back. You don't extend drives. You can't consummate drives. You can't score touchdowns. You got to kick field goals. And then you know how demoralizing it is to get into field goal range and then miss field goals? But the thing is, they weren't demoralized. They would just come back and do it again and over and over and over because they emulated their defensive coordinator. They emulated the intensity of their defensive coordinator. You don't have to have the number one offense in the country. You don't have to have a top 10 offense in the country. You just need a little bit. Just be a little bit above average. And this can be a really good football team. And that's not coming from me. That's coming from SEC coaches that played this team last year. Last thing, really quick, he talked about this coaching staff taking what they have and being good with it and not trying to go do something from the past, do something and fit into a system. We're going to go try to get the best players, and then we're going to bend and mold a successful system around our personnel. That's a direct shot to me at Hugh Freeze. That's a direct shot at what's been happening the past several years where we're trying to take players to fit to our system and not fitting our system around the players. Now, there are coaches that have had success being system guys. In other words, I only run this thing one way, and I'm going to recruit to that, and then I'm going to go run it that way. There are guys that have had a lot of success that way. It just wasn't quite happening at Auburn, and we couldn't take our strengths and maximize those strengths because our system was not malleable. Because there's one way to do it, and we got to keep bringing in the guys until we figure out which guys can do it the way we want to do it. Doesn't seem like Alex Golish is going to be that way. He's going to test and figure out everything that this group does great, and then he's going to build a product around it. And I love that. Like, when this is one thing that didn't really hit me until I read this. When he talked about having the whole offense installed with all the checks and everything like that, you've had an opportunity now all the way through spring to almost see everything this offense can do. So you've not only installed the offense, now you know even to down to the checks what they do well and what they need work on and what direction you may want to take this offense. I think that's puts Auburn way ahead of the game and kind of confirms, you know, the last piece where he's like, hey, there's going to be some teams early. You're going to be surprised at how efficient these guys are. You're going to be surprised it's not going to look like shaking the rust off because of all the continuity from staff to player from South Florida on the offensive side and then the continuity on the defensive side with all the returners, maybe not returning starters, but all the returners that are coming back playing again in DJ Durkin's system. I love it, man. That's the kind of stuff, the little nuggets that you hear, that you want to hear, particularly from opposing coaches. Good stuff. Let me know what you think about that. Let me know what you think about the fit of Alex Golish in general and the matchup between Golish and Durkin. Kind of feels perfect to me. We're going to talk about baseball and golf in just a second, but before we do that, we got to give a quick shout out to buyauburn.com. Go to buyauburn.com today. If you're a business owner, an Auburn business owner, you can list your business for less than a dollar a day, and you get the opportunity to have your own business spotlight podcast that we upload on weekends, talking Auburn ball and promoting your business. We got a good one coming up this weekend I think you're going to like. And then, hey, if you're going to do business with Auburn people. Start there. Go to buyauburn.com. First, see what's available. Work with Auburn people, man. That's the way to do it. If you need a good, and speaking of, if you need a good real estate agent in the Auburn Opelika area, hit me up. It's KyleRush@KW.com. Would love to help you, whether you want to invest in Auburn in a short-term, long-term rental property, looking for a game day cottage, looking for a condo, for a student, doesn't matter. I can help you out. Hit me up. Would love to help. We'll be back right after this. No idea why I started like chopping it up like that, but sometimes you just got to roll with it. Baseball was awesome last night. We did our first baseball barncast, and I was blown away at the audience. It was spectacular. And update for those that were concerned, we did not get sniped by the YouTube copyright ninjas. We did get notified that it was copyright material, but they're like, hey, you're good. You didn't monetize it, and you followed the directions. So good job. So we're going to do that until they say stop, where we shared the screen, we're watching the game together. It's just like the Manning cast, but for baseball and for Auburn fans of, you know, all the characters on the barn. I had Lindsey Crosby on there last night, which was fantastic. He's a Rolodex, an encyclopedia of information. Incredible. I don't feel like you can get better baseball insight than what you could have gotten last night. Auburn takes down LSU 3-1, had two tater bombs from Chase. Did anybody really think that ball was going out whenever he hit it? It's incredible. I thought he got jammed on the hands, and the ball just carried out to left center field. So that got us started. After we had given up a run the inning prior, Chase hits a bomb, and then a little bit later, you get another bomb, I believe, from Guevara, who hit a absolute moonshot. Absolute moonshot. Then you got a little insurance off of an error later on. It was a masterful pitching performance from both Jake Marciano and Sanders. I mean, Sanders didn't give up a hit. He came in the last three innings and didn't give up a hit, and Jake was incredible. It's such a luxury to be able to roll out arms like that, man. And Jake being able to go six innings, or did he go – he may have gone – no, he went six innings. Six full innings? I mean, you don't have to waste any of your bullpen. Now, I mean, you use Jackson, which was planned. Now you still got almost your full bullpen. You ain't spent an arm yet. What a luxury it is, man. And these guys just grind it out and make it happen. So you take on, I believe, Texas A&M. I don't actually know how they're going to do this today. We're on the schedule to play. But I don't know if, because they got this new rule where they only want to play like two games on Thursday. I don't think we're going to play today. I don't think we'll play till Friday. So that's going to put a bind on the Barncast. We're probably, I'm definitely not going to be able to do it. We'll try to figure something out, though. I can't guarantee it. It was a lot of fun. I can't guarantee that there'll be one. We'll see what we can come up with. But yeah, Auburn won't play until it looks like Friday now at 6:30 is what the schedule says for now, which I think is smart. Spread it out, because I feel like they're always trying to get this thing in under the wire. And it's like a miserably long ordeal. Games get delayed with rain and all kind of stuff. So I like kind of spreading it out a little bit. Probably help get it all in. But, yeah, it's a good first win. Good first win, and you almost haven't really – you still got a lot left in the tank, I guess. Haven't really fired off all your bullets yet. We'll see what they can do. Men's golf was a little bit hairy, but they got it done. They finished at inside the top five in the three spot. Doesn't matter where they finished. They're going to the Natty, baby. They're going to California to try to, you know, go win a national championship. It started off a little hairy, and what people didn't realize is the University of Georgia Golf Club has, obviously, you know, you play your front nine, you play your back nine. The front nine is like exponentially harder than the back nine. To give you context, up until the round yesterday, I think Auburn had made 25 birdies and an eagle on the back nine. And then the front nine, it was like half that or way less than half that, and sprinkled in a lot of bogeys. So all three rounds, it's been like Auburn hanging around even par, and then they hammer down on the back nine. And that's how they've performed all 3 days, or both days leading up to this one. Some of the other teams get to start on the back nine. So they get to start on the back nine, and if it's easy for Auburn, it's probably easy for them too. And they're lining it up. Well, that shot them ahead of Auburn because Auburn's starting on the other side. And so people are getting real nervous. They're like, man, Auburn's slipping. But the teams ahead of them, BYU, Georgia, and Charleston, all started on the back nine. And then as soon as Auburn got to the back nine, they started lighting it up. And then once again, they had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 birdies on the back. They had 5 on the front, 13 on the back, and they only had 4 bogeys. So they shot 9 under, I think, on the back, to get them to 8 under on the day, which was their lowest round of the tournament. Easily catapulted them into the 3 spot. They were ahead, that 4 shots clear of the cut. So good stuff. Good stuff. The number one team in the country moves on to play in Carlsbad, California, which is just north of San Diego. We looked it up last night. And the format, I believe, for that one is a little bit different. I think there's 32-ish teams. There's 5 from each regional that go. They'll play 2 rounds, cut down to 15 teams, I believe. They'll play It's either, no, they'll play three rounds, cut down to 15 teams. I apologize. They'll play two rounds, cut down to 15 teams, play three rounds, cut down. No, I'm way wrong. They play three rounds, cut down to 15, and then the final eight from that 15 go to the match play. That's how it works. Sorry. I'm getting it's one extra cut that's really throwing me off. So that actually starts, I believe, the end of next weekend and goes through, like, I think it finishes on the four rounds finish somewhere around the beginning of the week, and then they start the match play, and the match play is like 2 days. So the end of next week is when they'll kick this thing off. But good job, man. You got the number one player in the world. You're the number one team in the world. The last thing you want to do is not get through your regional. That would have been a disaster. So handle business. I want to give a shout out to Christian Clemente of 247 Sports. He was on site yesterday, and I imagine he'll probably go on to the Nationals as well, covering them hole by hole, shot by shot. And I think that's just awesome. That's awesome to give these guys the attention and the love that they deserve. I hope that we can grow to a point where I can do that one day. Guys, I really appreciate it. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back again tomorrow. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.